Hey, good morning.
Oh, yeah, you got that.
You can clap for Pastor Ryan. Yeah.
Good morning. Here we go. Check one, two. I might start singing here in a minute. We didn't get a chance to do this earlier. Woo! I tell you, it's good to have Pastor Ryan back. He was in Disneyland for a week. And I don't know if you noticed this morning, but just get up here for 1 minute. He gets embarrassed about this stuff, and I don't. But do you see this morning? Folks, I didn't even call him. Right? I mean, we didn't even call. It was just we knew to wear the manly salmon colored shirt. We're not going to call it pink, but you can sit down. And the brown shoes. And man, I tell you, that is unity. If I don't know what unity is. We have another shirt that is very similar. And I think I actually, that shirt no longer sparked joy in my life. Huh? Anyone know what I'm talking about? And so, for those of you that are looking at me, I don't know. I don't even know what she is, but there's this lady on Netflix, and she's a tidier. She helps people tidy, and that's one of her phrases. It doesn't spark joy. And so that shirt no longer sparked joy, and so it is going to spark joy for someone else, hopefully. Yeah, that's a show right there. Well, it is good to see you. I hope you're well. I hope you're excited for what God's doing and just engaged in who he is, because he's doing good things. Amen? And I'm excited to be a part of those things. I hope you are as well. Well, I'm going to get organized. And just in the name of honesty this morning, because I think that's a good place to be, I got bit this morning by the technology bug. You know what the technology bug is? Technology is a blessing sometimes, but it could be really irritating, especially when you rely on it. And so I got bit by the bug this morning, and I will say I just got a Macintosh computer a little while ago. I thought there'd be cheering and I really like it, and I think I'm going to like it, but it did let us down this morning, but that's okay. We're going to say, don't let us down right now, in Jesus' name. So, but we have just been off to a great start in 2019. I hope. It's been a weird start. I don't know about you, but I've heard so many people that just have said, 2019's off to an interesting start. And I hope the interesting means good for you. For me, it just means interesting and different. But a good thing, because I feel like the Spirit of God is stirring in my heart, and I feel like he's stirring in our hearts and in our church's heart. And so I'm excited for what God wants to do. If you're just joining us today for the first or second time or haven't been a part of our January, we've been on a 21-day fast as a church from January the 6th, 21 days until yesterday. And we were fasting. If you don't know what biblical fasting is, it means that you are abstaining from some sort of food. To fast means to close the mouth and to not eat. And so we have been fasting. Some of you have been doing modified fast, day fasts, week fasts, a couple 2-day fasts. Maybe some of you have done a 21-day fast. And the purpose is that we would starve our flesh in the physical realm, that we could hear the voice of God. And we talked about different objectives to why we fast, different reasons, different things like that. And I hope that you've been blessed this 21 days. We not just have stopped eating, but we've also, for the last 3 Thursdays, we have joined together here on Thursday nights for our pursuit nights. And we've had about 50 people each time. And the whole purpose of those nights is praying together. One of the phrases I said a couple weeks ago was, if you're fasting and not praying, you're just starving yourself. You know, we're not called to starve ourselves. So a part of a fast is that you are seeking the Lord. And so we did that together as a body. And I just pray that you experience God in a real way over this 21 days. And that it wouldn't just be something that we did and, oh, that was cool, but something that we learned as we want to see God move in our lives, that we would use the weapons that he's given us. Amen? and that we would not just some of the weapons, but the full arsenal of the things that are available to us as children of God. And I tell you this, I've talked to many of you. God has met us. God has spoke, and I'm excited for what he's going to do. For several months before this fast, have you ever been praying and God gives you a thought, and then it's like the thought doesn't go away? Has anyone ever had that happen to them before? And then it gets really weird because then people that are in your life start telling you the same thought that God gave you. And so I had a thought that was given to me for the last, you know, maybe 6 months from several men in my life that I walk with, that walk with this church and leadership, Bill Norton, Craig Lotz, Mark Cargill. And then it's really random when you have a guy that you've never met before that prays for you, and he tells you the same thing that everyone else is telling you. So it's kind of like, okay, God, are you trying to get my attention? Has anyone ever had that happen before? And it's like, okay, God, you know, tell me once, tell me twice, whatever you need to do to get my attention. And it was all around prayer and corporate prayer. And so that was one of the reasons why we as a body went through this fast together, because as we were praying and even over the last several months, this phrase kept going in my mind. It was almost the identical phrase that all these people would tell me when they would pray for me or say, hey, I feel like God wants to do this in your church. And they said this, that the things that we see on the outside will be a direct result of what is birthed in prayer. And I think we maybe have heard stuff like that before, but we're entering a season where I think the kingdom of God and the people of God need to rely on a prayer in a whole new way, where it's not just for the select few, it's for us Christians. It's not just something we do in private, but there's something happens when we join corporately together to pursue the purposes of God. And so we're believing that God did amazing things over this last 21 days, and we're praying for direction for us to continue to see corporate pursuit together, pursued on an ongoing basis. Because it was great for 21 days, but we want to see God continue to do great things. So we, because this, I believe this with my whole heart, that hunger creates more hunger. Have you ever been in a situation where you're physically hungry? The worst thing you can do is think about how hungry you are, right? Have you ever been on a long car trip across Eastern Washington or down to California and you need to, you know, stop and use the facilities, and then you start seeing waterfalls and streams. The worst thing you can think about is that. And I believe even spiritually, as we talk about passion, guess what's going to happen in our midst? Passion's going to happen. As we talk about hunger, guess what's going to happen? Hunger's going to spread to others. Because I don't know about you, but I am motivated by your spiritual hunger. And I hope that you are motivated by my spiritual hunger. When I see other people being passionate about the things that God's doing in their life, you know what it does in me? It makes me go, I want that for me. Or it could make me go, who do they think they are? Don't they know? And I pray that hunger would create hunger in our midst, that passion would create passion. Amen. So today, we are coining this Vision Sunday, and vision is one of those words. If you've been in church, if you've been in our church, you've heard vision a lot. You've heard the term vision, and I think there's some things we need to understand this morning in the name of vision, because it is so broad. Even when I said vision, how many of you got a word picture in your mind? Anyone? Did anyone get an idea of what they think vision is? And I think that's pretty normal for us to have an idea of what we think vision is. And I just want to break it down just a little bit this morning of what vision is not necessarily. So on Vision Sunday, I want to remind us that vision is not a destination. Okay, it is not a destination. Can vision take you places? Yes. But it is not a destination. Okay, vision is not a building. Can I say that again? Vision is not a building. Can vision produce you to build buildings? Yeah. Of course. Of course. But vision is not a building. Vision is not a program. Okay, I love programs. I think we have a great youth program. I think we have a great children's program. How many of you know those in of themselves are not vision? They can help you achieve your vision. And they do help us achieve our vision. But vision has everything to do with what you see. It has everything to do with what you see and how you see things. Okay, so for the next 30 minutes or 40 minutes, however long we're here this morning, vision is not a destination, it's not a building, it's not a program. It has everything to do with when you look at what God's doing, what do you see? What do you see? It has everything to do not only with what you see, but everything to do with what you believe deep down in your heart of who God truly is. Okay, your perspective of who God is and the vision that you feel God has for your life has everything to do with that relationship of what he means to you in your heart. Okay, how you view God dictates the vision that comes out of your life. Because I know a lot of people that view God as a God who's up there just to correct them when they're wrong. Okay, and does God correct me when I'm wrong? Yeah, he does. But he's a father. He wants to have a relationship with me. And so when I view him as a father, I'm able to view his vision for my life in a healthy way, in a proper way. Okay, vision has everything to do with the plans that God has for his people. Can I tell you this morning that God has good plans for your life? Can I tell you that God has good plans for his church, not just this church? God has good plans for the church. God has good plans for God's people. He has prosperous things for his people. And I know in the midst of what we see on the outside and what we see sometimes in our life, it doesn't always look good. It doesn't always feel good. But God's plans are good. Okay, his plans are good. So this morning, we want to talk about his plans. You know, we're going to look back this year over 2018. I can't believe we're already a month into 2019. But I want to talk about the vision that God's given this church over the years and the vision that God gave us last year. And it was so crazy. And then we're going to talk about some things this year as well. I think, did everyone get a brochure when they walked in? Hopefully you got a brochure. Can we just wave it? Wave it this morning. If you got one, just wave it at me just so I know here, okay? And some of you that don't want to wave it, just fan yourself off and, you know, it'll be okay. But looking back last year, you know, we felt like God gave us a phrase. And then we felt like God gave us a song. With everything that we had been through as a church, God last year said that this is going to be the year that you discover that hope is alive. That you discover that I am the God of hope and I have good plans for you. And I think hope is one of those things that we need as a people. If we ever lose hope, we've lost everything. Okay, they say in survival situations, the minute that someone loses hope, they're pretty much done for. And so we this morning, and even last year as we talked, God said, I want you to focus on hope because I'm doing things in your midst and you need to be hopeful for the things that I have for you. And so we coined the phrase that hope is alive. And then there came a song, and it was like our song that we as a church adopted and was like, hope is alive. And I believe it was significant for everything that we had gone through as a body. But I want to tell you this morning why it's so important that you have hope in your life. Because how many of you know life can get really hard? Huh? How many of you know life can get really discouraging? How many of you know when you get going in your life and you experience setbacks, you have a lot of opportunities to quit? You have a lot of opportunities to stop moving forward. You have a lot of opportunities to just coast and just exist. Because in the middle of life, when the mud starts flinging, things start happening, if you don't have a picture of hope, you're not going to move forward. And I was reminded of this morning, and my wife's, I don't know what she's going to do. Just pray for her, because I don't talk to her about everything I'm going to do when I preach, but I just want to show you this morning. And this is, you're like, that's interesting. You've got like a steak with some writing on it. I want to talk to you about what this steak is and what this steak represents. It is a building stake that you would use to draw out property lines, a building stake that you would use to mark things. In building, it would be the corner that you would stake down that everything would be built off. Okay, any construction, okay, it would be, if this thing is off, then everything is off. And to us, my wife and I, this stake is really old, but this stake represents hope. Because this stake, there's a date on it. See, I don't read this all the time, but it says March 11th, 2005. So that was some time ago, like, what, almost 14 years ago. But the stake represents hope. Is it 14? I'm really bad with math on the fly. But this stake represents a stake that my wife and I wrote on, and we put it in the ground when we were engaged to be married. And that stake was something that we came to that said, hey, on this day, whatever day in March it was, that we believed that God's will was for her and I to be married, and that God had been the one to join us together. And so we were making a physical representation of something that God wanted to build in our life that would last forever. And that a foundation and a beautiful home and beautiful kids and a beautiful marriage can be built off this. And again, we didn't need to do this. But it was a physical reminder that come good, bad, ugly, and our marriage has been pretty good. It's been awesome. We've had some hard life moments, but overall, man, marriage has been the greatest gift to me anyways, and you know, hopefully she would say the same. Depends on the day, I'm sure. But it has been a blessing. But this stake represented hope. Because every time that life threw us a curveball and we felt hopeless, every time something happened, every time if we were to get in a disagreement or an argument, we would go back to, but God said. Okay, this was hope for us to, and again, thank God we haven't had to make it through some marriage has been pretty good. Marriage has been pretty easy. Life has been hard at times, but this stake represented hope. And I think it's important that we have stakes of hope in our life that rally us back to why we're doing what we're doing, okay? And some people have to make a physical reminder of it. Other people don't have to. But looking back over the life of our church, God specifically said, you need to make hope a stake in your lives, in your life. You need to rally around hope because that will keep you on course for the things that I want to do in you. And how many of you know, without appreciating where you've come from, it's hard to anticipate your tomorrows? Okay, and I am totally grateful for what God's done. I tell you, this morning in worship, I was overwhelmed with emotion that we have hope and that God is changing lives and God is doing a work in our sons and daughters. And I am so grateful for his goodness over us. And I hope you are as well. And one of the things that the Lord spoke to us this last year is he said, make the vision clear. There's a scripture in Habakkuk. It says, write it down. And again, it's the same thing. Because sometimes if the vision's not written down, then it's easy to forget the vision. And so this year as a church, God gave us some foundational things that were going to allow us to build a great thing, because I can't think of another word, but a great foundation for the kingdom of God to rest upon. Okay, and God gave us these things that we called our core convictions, and I want to rally around those this morning, because our core convictions as a church have everything to do with what we believe about God. Because there's a lot of ideas of who God is out there. Come on, how many people have talked to friends that don't have a relationship with Jesus? I have friends that say, I won't come to your church, Justin, because if I come to your church, your building will fall down because I've done some bad things. Lightning will strike if I walk in your church, and I invite them anyways, because you know what? We serve a God that's bigger than that, and we serve a God of second chances, and we serve a God of great grace, amen? And so, but these core convictions have everything to do with our relationship with who he is. And so we believe this, number one, and if you're new this morning, this is a great Sunday to be here. Number one, we believe this, that we are loved by a father. We are not loved by a dictator that wants to control us, because dictators don't love. We are loved by a father. And I think that word father has a lot of negative connotation in our society today because of the absence of fathers, because of the hurt that fathers have called. But God wants to reveal to his people that he is a father that loves us and that wants to have relationship with us. So we learned that this year. Number two, we learned that we are called by a father. And you can look up those scriptures later. We're going to go through a lot this morning. But I think that that called is an interesting word because a lot of people have believed a lie that says because of what you've done, you can't have a purpose. Because of the things you've done, because of your sin, you just got to wander aimlessly until you die. And I want to say this morning that God has a purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life. God has something. God is calling your name, and he wants to partner with you in advancing his kingdom in your world. Amen. Number three, we learn this, that we're not only loved and called, but we are stamped. Okay, and that word stamp, it can pretty much mean that he calls you his. He brands you. Listen, there's a lot of things in our culture that want to shape us. Okay, there's a lot of molds that our culture's calling us to. But God wants to stamp you. God wants to brand you. God wants to absolutely put ownership, his name on your life. So we are stamped by a father. Okay, the fourth thing this morning is that, and I said this a few weeks ago, but aren't you grateful that God doesn't just leave you? I am grateful that God calls me and he equips me. How many of you know that God wants to equip you in your life today? Okay, he doesn't just want to give you a dream and say, figure it out, buddy. No, that's not how he works. But God wants to equip you so that you are qualified to do what he's called you to do. Okay, so we are empowered. Okay, he's not gonna just leave us out hanging when we step out in faith. He's gonna equip us every step of the way. And then number five, and this is probably one of my favorite, but we are sent by a father. We have stuff. We got stuff to do, people. Right? We got stuff that God wants us to do in our community, in our nation. Listen, I'm not satisfied as a husband, as a father, as a pastor to know that my eternal salvation is taken care of. Listen, I'm grateful that someday I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm grateful that someday my children are going to be with Jesus because they have Jesus in their heart. But I am not satisfied in my own life knowing that, hey, my family is good, but there are hundreds and thousands of people that I know that do not have that same eternal salvation because they do not have a relationship with Jesus. I am not satisfied with just being, I hope they figure it out before their time comes. Come on, I hope you're not satisfied with that this morning. I'm grateful for my salvation. Come on, are you grateful for your salvation this morning? But I am not satisfied knowing that some dear friends of mine do not have a relationship with Jesus. And so there's a mission, and there's something that drives me that says, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to love the unlovely. It's not enough for me to know, well, my kids are safe. Hopefully everyone figures it out. No. So these core convictions, they shape everything that we do, okay? People will come in and they'll say, well, what do you believe of God? We believe God's a father. We believe we have a destiny. We believe that he approves of us. We believe he equips us, and we believe we have stuff to do with him. Okay, so those are your really quick, all right? There's the bang, bang, bang version. Okay, God said, write it down. God said, make it plain. Get it in your heart. Okay, and then God said, I want you to describe what you're passionate about. Listen, there's lots of things to be passionate about, isn't there? Listen, I have some fun hobbies that I'm passionate about. But as the kingdom of God, when we talk about the kingdom of God, there's things that God has called our church to be extra passionate about. Okay, and these things that God gave us, we call them our core values. Okay, and our core values were things that we came up with, and I think there's 9 of them. And we said everything we do as a church, we want it to funnel through these 9 things. We want people, you know, because again, there's a lot of ways you can spend your time. Okay, how many of you have different time sucks in your life? It's like, I tell you, sometimes the Facebook thing on my phone is a time suck. Right? It's just like time disappears when I'm on that thing. Because as a church, there's lots of things that you can get involved in. How many of you know that there's a lot of needs out there? Yeah. Right? If you're not careful, you can run 1,000 different directions and forget what direction are we running? So God said, I want you to rally around these 9 core values, and I'm going to put them up in no particular order because of the technology bug we had this morning. But the first one that God said I want you to rally around is presence. Okay, God's presence is everything. Okay, there's what we said about presence. But listen, we're changed in his presence. We want a place where our kids can experience the presence of God. The second one this morning was generations. Listen, the generations matter to God. Come on, we are generational hope on purpose. The generations matter to God. The third one this morning is leadership. Okay, we're cruising through these this morning. We want to raise up others to be released into God's destiny for their lives. Listen, I believe that there are positions, and I believe that there are gifts of leadership in this house that haven't been tapped yet. Right? We want to tap in to those gifts because God has called us to be an effective church. Okay, the next one, number 4, relationships. I am so grateful that we're not called to just have a relationship with God and just ignore everyone else. I'm so grateful that we're called to do life and ministry together, aren't you? I am so grateful for the people that are in my life. I'm grateful for the people yet that aren't in my life that God is going to bring into my life, right? We're called to be people of relationship. The next one is servanthood. Probably one of my, they're all my favorites, people. Come on, I'd say one of my favorite. Servanthood. I believe this, that the way to greatness in the kingdom of God is through serving. Okay, it worked for Jesus. It'll work for us. Okay, the next one was excellence. Okay, it's an honor to bring our best to Jesus because he's worthy of it. Amen? It's an honor to bring Jesus our best. We want to be a church that gives Jesus our best in everything we do. Okay, reach. Reach. We will take action to reach our community, our nation, and our world because people matter. Come on, say people matter with me. People matter. Listen, people matter. People matter to God, and so they matter to us. Okay? People in our community and people in the nations of the world, they matter to God. The next one is faith. Listen, the currency of the kingdom of God is faith. It's what moves God's heart. Okay, we want to be people of faith, not people who just believe what we can see, but people who believe what we can't see. Okay, and the last one is, we want to be generous, okay, because we're compelled by a radically generous God to live, give, and love generously. God has been so good to us. Listen, because we are American, we are some of the richest people in the world. God has been so good to us in so many ways. We want to give that to others. I want to be generous in every area that I can. So God said, I want you to focus everything you do around those 9 things. God said, if there's something that you're doing in your calendar, how many of you know that we're driven by our calendar, right? The things that we do. God said, if there's things in your calendar that don't line up with these 9 things, I want you to pray about eliminating them. And so this year, we changed a few things. We did a few things to rally around the 9 core values that God has given us as a church. And you can see in your brochure, so you can pull out your brochure here if you have one. We're just going to highlight a few things in this. But God said, I want you to rally everything around these 9 core values. And so that's why you see some of the things that you see in this brochure. Okay, some of the events, some of the activities, some of the spiritual things, the baptisms, the camps, all those are on purpose. Okay, I want to just take a couple minutes this morning, and I want to look at the finances this morning because we talk about generosity, and I want to say this morning that we have a generous church. We have a generous church. We have amazing, generous people. And how many of you have a personal budget with your house? Yeah, I encourage you to get on a budget. If you're not on a budget, man, it helps you in so many ways. But this morning, you know, the Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart is, right? And so I think it's important as we look at finances that that's where our heart is. Okay, our heart is directed by what we spend our money on. And so I think I have a slide that I think it's going to match exactly because I took a picture of it because of the technology bug this morning. I had a nice slide, but I didn't have time to recreate another one. We'll go to the next one, Marie. But I just want to take a couple minutes and go over this. You can see it. You have it in front of you. Obviously, our estimated budget is based on the income that we think is coming in. How many of you know you can't just come up with a budget without, you know, the income, right? It has to match. And so that's what the estimated budget is based on the tithe from you and people that give to this church. That is how we come up with our expenses, how much ministry we can do, how much different things we could support, how much staff we have. Everything is ran through that budget number based off of the income. And then we go through the expenses and it all has to make sense. And all you number people said, woohoo. And all you non-number people said, what's for lunch? So that is what our budget is. Our tithe, because it can be confusing, but tithe is the regular income that we feel comes in to the church. Okay, that is our regular giving. Every Sunday morning, this church has, in 2018, has given $610,000 and 24. Okay, you get the picture. Which, can you give yourselves a hand this morning? Come on, give yourselves a hand. Because that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. Okay, our tithe is the regular giving that comes in. Okay, and then you've got this other giving. What's other giving? I want to explain other giving this morning. Other giving could be a lot of different things. It can be designated missions. It could be special offerings that we take for something specific that we might not take the next year. Okay, we have a preschool at our church. And I'll tell you, our preschool is the greatest. In fact, our preschool, it's like there's already like a waiting list for our preschool, which tells you God's doing great things. But our preschool income that we get from our preschool is in that other giving. Any events we do, so like when we do a summer camp or a winter camp, and you know, parents, those aren't cheap. That is into the other giving. And so that number fluctuates based on what we do, based on how many camps, how many women's retreats, different things like that. And so that category is the other giving. And then I don't think I need to explain expenses, right? Because you all have a house. You all live in King County. You guys all drive cars. You put gas in cars. Thank God gas is going down a little bit. We'll see how much longer that lasts. A lot of you experience your taxes go up. So, you know. And it's amazing when you're a church and you're exempt from taxes, how many fees you still pay for being exempt. Our fees to be exempt are more than most of your personal property taxes that you pay every, right? Which is just crazy. God help us with understanding that one. But that's a different story. But then if you go to the next slide, you can see the breakdown of where the finances are directed. We'll start in the middle. 38% is our staff. We have an amazing staff. I am so honored with the staff that God has brought to Generational Hope. People who are unselfish, people who work hard, people who carry the heart of the kingdom. About 38% on the staff. The next one is the operations. Operations is kind of the everything. You guys have those, right? It's everything. It's our fees for our taxes that we don't pay. It is our facility and upkeeping the facilities and everything that goes into upkeeping facilities. All of our ministry that we see on Sunday morning, from the music equipment to our youth activities, our children's, pretty much everything ministry related is in that category of operations. And then we have our 12%, which is mission, benevolence. Anything that is really outside of the four walls of this church is what we're calling missions. Okay, it's the missionary support. It's giving to Backpack Buddies, which is a local missions group, a nonprofit. So that's the 12%. And then I believe in the 10% that we have 10%, which is savings, a capital improvement. Because how many of you know water tanks explode. Literally. Pipes break. Septic system all the time. They don't do what they're supposed to do. And so that's some capital improvements, retained earnings, things, a flex, things that we didn't plan on that God would want us to go for, and then an emergency fund. And so that's just the basic breakdown of the finances, because I think it's important. I heard once that vision can be spelled this, M-O-N-E-Y. How many of you know it takes finances in the day and the age we live in? And I'm so grateful for the finances that God has given this church. There's more in that brochure. If you have any questions, there's an email at the bottom. Feel free to email us, or you can talk to us afterwards. But that's just a snapshot of some of the finances. And it's amazing what God is doing. And you should be proud that this is a giving, generous church. Amen? Amen. Okay. I'm probably running way behind here because that's kind of what I do. But I believe this, and all the great things that we've experienced, I believe this with my whole heart, that the best is yet to come. Come on, the best is yet to come. Earlier this year, we had a friend of mine come and speak. His name was Mark Cargill, and he was here in October. And he spoke on a message that was called, What Do You See? And I believe that his message was key for who we are as people. And he talked about the story of Abraham. And Abraham, God was talking to Abraham, and God said, Abraham, what do you see in Genesis 15? And Abraham was inside of his tent, and he only could see what was in his tent. And God brought him outside, you remember the story, and God said, look now, Abraham, what do you see? And obviously outside, he saw the stars. He saw what God can see. And this morning, I believe as we start 2019 off, that God is asking us the same question that says, what do you see? Okay, what do you see? And I think the tendency would be very easy for us to say, well, God, we see a building that's 96 feet by 43 feet with a stage that's 12 feet wide. Yeah, that's what it is, right? It's very easy. Oh, well, God, I see this. Because it's what we're used to. It's what we've experienced. And God would say this morning to us, I want you to step outside, and I want you to see what I see. And because I believe that the word that God is calling us to this year, there's a few different things, but God is calling us to enlarge the capacity of our hearts. Because there are things that God wants us to carry that we are not carrying right now. Okay, and we're going to talk about these over the next few months. I believe one of the areas that God wants to challenge us in as a body is understanding his grace. Come on, God's grace is his enablement. It's the things that you can't do in your own strength. And so we're going to spend some time over the next few months talking about what does it mean to be expanded in our hearts. What does it mean to be expanded in our hearts? Because how many of you want to carry the things that God has for you? Man, there's things that I know God has called me to personally that I'm just not ready for yet. Okay, that I feel like if God were to unleash them now, guess what they would do? They would crush me. Okay, they would bury me. But God wants to get us to the place where we're ready to carry the things that he has for us. And I'm going to save some of my other stuff just because it's too good and for time's sake this morning. But how many of you got this handout? Come on, wave it at me again. Come on, we're going to wave it at me again this morning. You got the handout. This handout is twofold. Because this, I believe as God is calling us to expand our hearts, he's saying you need to expand the resources that I've given you. You need to expand the gifts that I've given you. And so we've got on one side of this, it says, join the team. We have amazing volunteers. How many of you in this room right now volunteer in a ministry by a show of hands? Okay? I mean, you look around, it's most of us. But I know that there are giftings in this body that are not being tapped yet, that there are leadership giftings, that there are gifts of hospitality, that there are gifts of administration. There's all sorts of gifts that I believe are not being tapped. And in order for us to achieve what God has for us in the future, I believe that God is saying he wants to see gifts released in a whole new way in 2019. Amen? In a whole new way, he wants to see gifts released. And so on this sheet, I just encourage you that we have, and I'm not just going to say it this morning without being honest, but in honesty, there's needs, right? There are some real needs, like in our body. Many of you who serve, you know the needs because you're the one serving every week. We have some real needs when it comes to some of these areas, and we would love to see the weight gets spread a little bit more. And so I encourage you to look at this to figure out if there's areas. If you're new this morning, I want to encourage you, you can get involved in these things too. Okay, you can get involved in these things too. And then if you flip this over, we have a list of our missionaries. Okay, our church supports these missionaries out of the general fund right now. And you could count them and you could find out how many there are. And we want to just give an opportunity this year as we are trying to finalize our 2019 budget, that if there is some of you that would like to give above and beyond to what you're currently given, that would go specifically to these ministries, we want to give you the opportunity to pray about it. And we want to give you the opportunities to support them in a different way. And so we put some options down for you of how you can support them. And I love our missionaries because God is wanting us to draw closer to their hearts. And we've been fortunate to have them, most of them here, at least on a yearly basis. And I think that's all part of it because it's not just supporting them financially. It's partnering with them and what God's called them to do and how that relates to generational hope. And so I encourage you, you can fill this out. You can bring it back through our Connect table after the service and your gifts as well. But please, and you can bring it back next week. A couple other things. I know I'm saying a lot this morning. I'm going to have Michelle come up in just a minute. But another thing that the Lord has really impressed on our heart this year, and if you were here for our special service with Bill Norton, he talked all about relationships. And I think relationships is one of the most important things in the body of Christ as we are going to dream with the things that God has for us, but he's going to do it in relationship. And I believe there's relationships that God wants to grow in our hearts this year. And so in thinking about relationships, we have a few different opportunities. How many of you were a part of a small group this year, a community group, right? Many of us, I believe our community groups are going to continue to be the backbone of how ministry happens here because it's all about relationships. So we have some opportunities coming later this spring with that. But there's a new thing that we are starting. I'm just going to read a blurb and you'll hear more about it. But it's called, how many of you eat dinner? Okay. But it's called DC, Dinner Club. And pretty much it's gathering a small group of people that would meet four times a year. And the whole purpose is just to go to eat, make a meal, and get to know one another. Lisa Novotny is heading it up. You're going to hear more about it, but it's for everyone. If you want to grow in relationships, I encourage you in the coming weeks to sign up for a group that would just commit to eating together a few times a year. We're really excited about that, our life groups. And I want you to pray about this. We are blessed by our church facility. Amen. We are so blessed to have one. I know churches that have to have 30 people just to help set up every. I'm so grateful that we don't have to do that. But we are praying that God would give us the right strategies and tools with how we can use our facility to its complete capacity when it comes to the relationship, the area of relationships. Because we want a place where people can come and people can hang out and not feel like we're hanging out in rows. And so we're just praying that God would give us wisdom with how we can use our current facility in a better way to see relationships facilitated better. Okay? So there's a lot going on. I am sure all you detailed people that gave me this information are saying, you forgot this. But the last thing I want to do before I come back up, I'm going to invite Michelle. Would you give Michelle a hand this morning? She's going to fill you in on something else going on.
All right. Good morning. Well, I have something really fun to share that we've been working on for, gosh, I don't know, 4 months, maybe, who knows? You know, it all just flows together, doesn't it? Like, what month is it? I can't believe we're almost through January. All right, well, since we are waving things this morning, I want you all to get out your cell phones, and I want you to wave your cell phone at me, because we now officially have our very own Generational Hope app. So, I'm sorry for, you know, this, my technology is a little small too. Okay, so I want to walk you through. Now, okay, don't try to download it all at once right now because our internet's a little spotty in this room. We might break the internet if everyone does it at the same time. So I'm going to walk you through it. But please, when you leave here, please download the app because this is where we are trying to get really good and excellent with our communication. Now, listen, those of you, where are the minors? Those of you who came to church on the Sunday when it was canceled and didn't get the memo, we were dying inside. I'm like, if only the app had been launched, everyone would have gotten the word. Because we're able to send you notifications when important things are coming up, when, you know, a random church service is canceled, when we can put you in own certain groups, like, hey, youth, don't forget, we've got a fun night tonight. It won't go to everyone. It'll just go to certain groups. So communication is, like, going to go about 10 notches up that we're really excited about. So when you go in, you're going to go into the App Store, whether you have an Android or a Apple product, and you're going to go in, just type in Generational Hope Church. This is what will pop up. You'll hit the open button, and then it's going to take you to our app. So we go to the first little page of our app. So this is a you'll be able to scroll down and see some more. So do you see this spot here where it says I'm new? Y'all are new. So get really familiar with the app because there are so many things in here that are really awesome. Listen, our Connect card that we ask everyone to fill out every Sunday, it's right there. So you can click on it, you can open it up, it'll take you, it'll fill out a form, it'll send it right to us so that we can get to know some people. You can read the Bible on there, and you can pick your own version that you want. Will you go to the next one for me? Let's see, you can sign up for, you can follow us, our Facebook and Instagram. If you don't have Facebook and Instagram, you can get those too. You can give securely, and then you can sign up for our newsletter. We are still in process of integrating some things within the app, so you'll see things unfold a little bit more. We're trying to actually get our newsletter on here, but I haven't quite figured that out yet, so that will come. But you can sign up for it now if you're not a part. That's also another really great way to receive communication from the church. It gives you just our weekly updates, what's coming up. Will you go to the next one? I'm not sure where I went next. Okay, so in the I'm new section, make sure you go there. I already said that. You can go. I got ahead of myself. Sorry, Marie. You can go to the next one. Okay, this is so awesome. So you can listen to our sermons right from the app. So when you, down at the bottom, so there's, it's kind of twofold, whatever you see scrolling and then whatever's on, and then there's the bottom section as well. So when you click on the listen, you can go into, you see Mark Cargill right here at the bottom. What do you see? There's different, if there's sermon series, you'll want to click on it because, like the God, what's it called? The God I Never Knew, thank you, is on, I think it's down a little bit farther, but when you click on that, it'll actually open up all of that whole entire series that we did together. Okay, go ahead, go to the next one. Okay, so when you open this up, so this is Hearing God's Voice that Pastor Ryan preached, and there is a place when you open up, this is what it'll look like. You can hit listen. The little arrow with the line is a download. You can download it to your phone. And you can also take a note. When you take a note, it's going to ask you to sign in, and it's not to take your information. It's just so it can, you can take notes. It'll keep it all in one spot. It just kind of categorizes everything for you. Okay, you can go to the next one. Give. So this will take you to our outside that we currently, we did not switch our giving platform, but this will just take you right to the website so that you can give right there. If you'd rather do it that way. You can still text to give, and you can still put your offering in the buckets as they come along. It will ask you to continue. It's going to tell you it's taking you outside of our app to give, so that's just what that is. Thanks, Marie. all of our events are in here too. So on this events tab, you can go in here and it's just gonna tell you we have our next pursuit night. We're starting a monthly pursuit nights now. Will you go to the next one? This is really awesome. You can even RSVP for different events if we need you to. So everything literally is going to be in the palm of your hand. It's just so awesome. You can get all the information on there and everything. Is there one more? Okay, and then this is in our contact. So if you need prayer, if you want to share a testimony with us, you can go right down there, go to the need prayer. It'll give you all the information, and it literally will just send right to our inbox. This is so awesome. When you download the app, make sure it's going to ask you if you want to allow notifications. Say allow, because all the information will then make it to you. When I walked in this morning, I set a little thing on my phone, and when I walked in the door, it said, "Welcome to Generational Hope. We're so happy you're here with us today." And I was like, yes. And like the three other people who have downloaded our app are probably on the leadership team. I was personally excited. I'm really excited for this. I hope you all go home. Just make yourselves really comfortable with it. If you need help navigating through this, I would love to help you. If you need help getting it on your phone, I would also love to help you do that. So if you have any questions, hit our contact button and send us an email. And or if you have any questions and you can't figure it out, then you can call. So we're here to help, really excited to just get this going. We're gonna add more. If you have any thoughts about anything too, we are open of how it would make it work easier. So thank you.
And I am wondering, I have the app already, but I did not get that nice welcome. So I'm really curious why she got it and I didn't. I see how it is, but patience, okay, yes, thank you, Lord. Because of time's sake this morning, we wanted to just fill you in on a number of those things, those practical things that we've been working on. But I do, just as we get close to dismissing this morning, I want to encourage you to be back here next week, because we're going to be starting talking about what I believe God is wanting us to do. Is He is wanting us to expand our own capacities to receive the things that He has for us. You know, that I don't want to be limited by my own strength anymore. And so we're going to be talking about, for the next 3 weeks, about being stretched to carry the things that God has for us. And I was hoping to get to some of it today, but it just didn't work out. But I encourage you to be here, because God is wanting to do amazing things this year. He's wanting to change our hearts. He's wanting to open our eyes to the lost. He's wanting to open our eyes to those that are right in front of us. He's wanting us to give us a revelation of what His grace means for our lives. And so we're going to be talking about this over the next couple of weeks and months. And so I encourage you to be here and to just open your hearts to what God wants to do. Can everyone just stand with me before we dismiss this morning? I'm going to stand, and then I'm just going to pray this morning. I'm not going to have any music come up. But I hope you're excited, because God is on the move and God is doing great things. And so would you just pray with me as we dismiss this morning? God, God, I thank you for an amazing 2018. Father, corporately, individually, Father, I thank you for hope. God, that hope is truly an anchor for our soul. Father, I thank you that in the midst of hard situations, Father, you fill us with hope. And Father, your hope doesn't disappoint. It doesn't leave us half satisfied. Father, your hope satisfies. And God, we thank you for the hope. God, we thank you for the things that you've called us to as a body, as families. Father, of good things that are part of your kingdom. God, we thank you for the things that you have in store. God, we are grateful for what you've done. But Father, we thank you that there's good things to come in the future. And the best is yet to come. And God, I just pray over everything that you put in our hearts. God, even these practical things with the gifts, with the missionaries. Father, even the app and different things like that. Father, that these are all tools to see your kingdom advance. God, I thank you for the amazing gifts that exist in this house. And I pray, God, that this year would be a year that we would see gifts released like never before. Father, even there's gifts that exist in people today, God, that have sat dormant for 20 years, 30 years. God, I ask that you would release those giftings this year. Father, that your church would be strengthened, because everyone is doing their part, and everyone is using the gifts that you've given us to use. God, we thank you for what you're doing. God, we thank you for your grace that enables us to do what we can't do. And God, we look with expectancy for the things that you have in store. In Jesus' name, God, we pray all these things today. Amen. 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 Okay. God bless you. We will see you next week. Make sure to drop those things off at the Connect table, and we'll see you next time. You're released.